Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, it's Hamish from the Young Investors Podcast. Myself and Brandon are excited to bring you your weekly rundown of the latest business and investing news from around the world. A quick reminder before we get started, any advice provided by Brandon is general and does not consider your financial situation, needs, or objectives, so consider whether it's appropriate for you. Brandon van der Kolk is authorized to provide general financial product advice in Australia and is authorized representative number 1305795 of Guideway Financial Services Proprietary Limited, AFSL number 420367. Please see the description box for Brandon's financial services guide. Past performance is not a reliable indication of future investment returns. But with that said, let's get into another episode of the Young Investors Podcast. All right. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome back to the Young Investors Podcast, episode 260. First episode of the year. I'm joined by Mr. Ooh. Brandon van der Kolk. How you doing? Happy New Year. How were your...
Happy New Year to you too, mate. How you been? How was your trip to Korea?
Yeah, it was great. We got so blessed by the most perfect weather because obviously it's winter, it's very cold over there. But most of the days we were there, it was completely sunny and was like 3 to 5 degrees, which was actually pretty good. And then we had one day that was negative and it was the biggest snow that Seoul had seen in 40 years.
Wow.
Which is just like so lucky because it was just... It was just awesome. So we didn't get any rain or any like in between weather. We got like sunny and like not actually that cold and then really cold. So it snowed a lot.
Nice.
So yeah, it was perfect. It was good. It was a good break.
Oh, I'm glad you had a good time. And now we are getting back into it. We should talk. We're actually doing, we've had a think. We've had a thunk. We thank, could thunk. We used our noggins.
We put our two brain cells together.
Yep.
We came up with an idea.
Yeah, we put our 2 cents.
Yeah.
Both of us have 1 cent each. Yep. And what we're going to do this year with the podcast is we're going to try and do 2 episodes per week. So The way we're going to do it is we'll still do our news related podcast, except we're going to probably condense that a little bit into more of like around a half an hour podcast. And then our second podcast of the week, we are going to be tackling some sort of topic, some sort of, you know, something a little bit different. So it's not just always like, here's what's happening in the world. Here's what's happening. We have a little bit more flexibility to talk about other stuff
that might be
interesting or relevant.
Mystery box.
Sorry?
Mystery box.
Mystery box.
And, you know, sometimes exactly it'll be right. Hamish's fraud story of the week. I'll try and find some more funny stories.
You love a good fraud story.
I do. Yeah. Well, I think the audience likes them as well. We seem to get a good amount of good feedback when we do those episodes because they are pretty funny.
They're just so outrageous.
Yeah. There's some ridiculous ones. We had quite a few contenders last year to go through. So yeah, I'm sure we'll be able to find. I'm sure fraud's not going to. Maybe 2024 is just a fraud off year. Maybe there's just no fraud. It's just a dip in the chart. Just zero fraud.
I mean, obviously, I would like 2024. Okay. Of course, I don't want any fraud in the world in 2024. But
really,
I mean, just a little bit it does make good content.
Just a bit of funny, kind of just funny. A bit of funny fraud. We don't want any crazy fraud. No,
victimless crimes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, Hamish, what are we talking about today?
We are going to do our 2024 stock market predictions. So last week's episode, but the last episode we did a couple of weeks ago was the 2023 was reviewing our last year's predictions. So if you haven't seen that, you can go check that out after this as well. But at the start of the year,
who won that? I can't remember. Who won.
I think it was me, but we don't have to check. We don't have to tally that.
Oh, was it? I think we should check.
No, we don't have to go. We don't look. Actually, don't go and watch the episode. It wasn't that interesting. Don't go watch it. It was boring. Okay, don't go look at it. No, but at the start of the year, of course, we want to do make our predictions for going into the year. We've got stock market predictions, economic predictions, all kinds of stuff. We'll go through in today's episode.
Mm.
So yep,
sounds good. I'm keen.
Yeah. So with that said, today's episode is brought to you by Seeking Alpha, your one-stop shop for stock analysis, market data, and news. Access expert analysis and news for thousands of stocks. View buy, hold, and sell ratings from members, Wall Street analysts, and Seeking Alpha's own algorithm. Screen for stocks using a variety of fundamental and technical analysis metrics. Access 10 years of financial data and company filings. And manage your portfolio by tracking your investments with price alerts so you never miss a buying opportunity again. Click the link in the episode description or head directly to seekingalpha.me/younginvestors to try Seeking Alpha free for 7 days. And as always, thank you to those who have already signed up to Seeking Alpha using our link and are supporting the ridiculous predictions we're about to make.
So how are we going to do it, Hamish? How are we going to do it?
Yeah, I thought we spoke about a couple of these things in the previous episode, but I'll just very, very, very quickly give a 2023 backdrop just so that people kind of have an idea of where the market is and that sort of thing before we make some of the predictions. So stocks, of course, had a fantastic year in 2023, pretty much wherever you looked. The US stock market was up 26.4%, including when you include dividends, which is... I saw a chart of like all the different years of the S&P 500 or all the US stock market. And it's one of the best years in the US stock market's history. So yeah, it was interesting to see that plus 12% in the fourth quarter alone. So yeah, there was certainly a big fourth quarter driven by this kind of shift in interest rate expectations. It's now all of a sudden we're expecting interest rate cuts in 2024, which you would not have maybe expected 6 months earlier, and that's been driving the US results. The Australian market was up a little bit less, 13.2% when you include dividends. So not as good as the US, and actually
still an above average year.
Still an above average year, absolutely. And it's interesting because for the Australian market, you have way more dividends. So 5% of that 13% was dividends, and the actual market was only up about 8%. And that's what you tend to see between the US and Australian market. The US market has less dividends and has tended to... Well, actually, I think the Australian market's driven a higher average return when you look over the very long term, but certainly recently.
But you're right. It's certainly... For those that live outside of Australia, it's definitely Australia is a very dividend-focused market because we have a big tax advantage through the dividend structure of having imputation credits, fully franked dividends... which make it a lot nicer for us to receive dividends than other parts of the world.
Yeah. In terms of the housing market, I just have the Australian data here from CoreLogic. The five capital cities in Australia saw a 10% increase in their prices, according to CoreLogic's property price index, which is one of the kind of price averages that they share. The strongest capital city was Perth, up 15.6%. Throughout the year. The weakest was Melbourne, plus 3.8%. Australian market continued.
I wouldn't have picked Perth.
I definitely would have not picked that. And I wouldn't have picked Melbourne to have the weakest growth either. But very strong for the Australian property market.
I was thinking maybe an explanation. I don't really know because I don't know property at all really. But maybe an explanation is because Perth was actually so affordable and we've seen, you know, Sydney, Canberra, Melbourne, these states become so unaffordable. Maybe a lot of people are kind of trending towards the more affordable place, which has increased buying pressure.
Yeah.
But I don't actually know. That's just a hypothesis. I'm not actually sure if that holds up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely could be the case. It is just crazy to see these capital cities continue to hit all-time highs in terms of housing prices with interest rates having gone up so much. It's just insane how it's just really had no impact, at least what we've seen so far, on, you know, the enormous amount of demand behind the housing market, which is crazy to see. You know, in any normal market, you would kind of, without any other facts, you'd expect a massive rate rise in interest rates and, you know, prices to ease or at least stop growing. But yeah, 10% increase in 2023. And then I'd also include here Bitcoin, which we can't forget about, had 167% return in the last 12 months.
It was a huge year for Bitcoin. Huge.
Insane, right? Insane. And it's actually not too far from its all-time high as well, which is just crazy. Bitcoin is, especially in the second half of the year, has been surging. So
Well, that's a very lovely backdrop.
That's my backdrop.
And now?
And now let's predict. Now let's shake our crystal balls and look into the future.
We got to say, like, we like doing these 2023 stock market predictions and then or 2024 predictions and then revisiting them down the track, because it's not something to be looked into or trusted or anything like that. It's not like financial advice. It's just a bit of a laugh, because honestly, the thing that we find funny is coming back is that, you know, we're pretty switched on. We follow the market very closely and it's funny every year how wrong we are.
Well,
it's just impossible.
Speak for yourself, Brandon. My predictions are 100% going to be accurate. I want you to follow these predictions and expect that they will will take place, just as they have every year in the past. I've never actually been wrong. I'm an oracle. What could I say? I predict everything. So
the Oracle of Melbourne, as they call it, doesn't quite have the same ring to it, does it?
No, no. I'm looking forward to another year of being completely wrong. I just can't get it right. I don't know. It's just what it is. I mean. No one could predict
I was only right last year thanks to luck.
That's the thing. Like, where's my luck? I've had no luck for like three years in a row. Like, come on. Like, surely. Surely I could get some predictions right.
This year is your year, Hamish.
It's going to be.
New year, new you.
Yeah, 2024 is going to be my year. All right. So let's
start. Laugh, love.
Let's start with stock market predictions. And we'll start pretty simple. So US stock market, higher or lower. And then I guess should we do a percentage prediction as well? I guess that's kind of fun, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
All right. Should I go first?
Yes. You go first. US stock market.
US stock market. So should we just say S&P 500?
S&P 500. Yep.
Oh, whoops. I'm totally writing in the wrong area of this Google Doc. thanks for pointing that out. Okay. S&P 500. I'm going to say, see, here's the thing. The US is entering into a difficult year. I, unlike many people, the Fed says that rates are going to come down. I'm not so sure that rates are going to come down as easily as what people are maybe expecting. And that's based on a lot of kind of what Ray Dalio is talking about, what Howard Marks is talking about. So I am going to say that I predict the S&P 500 will end up positive for 2024, but I don't think it's going to be quite as much as the bounce that we've seen towards the end of 2023, where someone like the Fed came out and said, "Oh, we think rates might be rate cuts might be coming," and then the market just went wee.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say the S&P is going to be up, but only by can I say less than 10%?
Yeah. Okay. I'll allow that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is up less than 10%. Okay. What do you think?
Yeah. I think, it's hard to say. I think it feels like there's a reasonable amount of optimism in markets at the moment. So, you know, that means I kind of want to suggest that maybe the market will underperform, you know, compared to last year, but maybe even potentially negative. I'll go a little different to you just because it's more interesting. I probably would have also said just S&P up less than 10%, but I'll go a little bit differently. I'll say S&P down, but less than negative, like down less than 10%. So zero to negative 10%. We'll say that. So
this was B, and then, I'm going to have to, down less than 10%. All right, let's move on.
All right. We have
what's next?
The Australian stock market, higher or lower? What do you reckon?
What do you think?
Well, as I said last year, the Australian market tends to follow the US. So if we're going for 100% points here, I'm going to have to have a similar prediction to my US prediction. I will say, I'll say flat, 0%.
Okay. All right, fair enough. For the Australian market. Yeah, you're 100% correct. The Australian market is basically a copycat to the US market. I'm wondering if there's anything this year that sets Australia apart, but I'm not really thinking so.
The one thing I will say is, are we doing these with dividends included or excluding dividends?
No, we should do with dividends included.
Okay, with dividends included. Yeah. So You know, probably regardless of what happens, unless there is a really severe recession, you would probably expect there still to be some positive return there from dividends, if that makes sense. So that's probably a factor that should be considered compared to the US, which the S&P actually doesn't have a very high dividend yield really ever.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I know it's boring, but I'm going to say it's going to be the same as my prediction for the US stock market. I think the Australian market is going to be up, but less than 10%.
Okay. Wait, so I should get a range too, because you've got a range of 10%. So I get plus minus 5%. We'll do that, right?
Okay, sure.
Plus minus 5. Yep.
Plus minus 5%. I like it. All right.
All right, let's do, I should have pulled up a list of the S&P 500 companies before we do this one, but the best and worst performers of the S&P 500. So let's go down the list or should we just, what do you reckon we should do? Should we?
I'm having a look at the S&P 500 right now, and I'm trying to think, I'm just thinking through some of these companies.
Should we just do like out of the top like 50 companies or something? That's all we did last
year.
Because otherwise.
Yeah. Let's do top 50. Okay, top 50 out of the top 50. We're making it up as we go along. I love it. I'm going to say the best. Okay, this is going to sound crazy. Okay.
We like crazy. This will be good.
I'm going for a full crazy prediction here.
Okay.
So,
Texas
in 2023, in 2023, the best performing stock in the S&P 500 was Nvidia.
It was. Correct.
It was. I think in 2024, the best performing stock is going to be Nvidia.
You're crazy. You are crazy.
That's crazy. It went up 239% in 2023. I'm saying that the tear is not stopping. I'm saying see in 2025, we're going to be double.
Stupid.
No, not quite.
Stupid prediction.
That is stupid.
Terrible prediction.
But I'm going to say that the hype, the mania, the hype will continue. My reasoning is that in 2024, there's no way that the push towards AI just dies. Like, that's what's fueling Nvidia's growth, the push towards AI. And granted, there's a lot of hardware being purchased through Nvidia. So, like, definitely their business is improving. But I think the speculation around it continues. And I think that's what makes them the best performing stock in 2024. Watch me be wrong.
You said it so confidently, though. So it's.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. This is hard. Because all the companies that I probably would pick did so well last year that it's just hard to imagine that a stock that's up, you know, 50, 60% in a year then goes on to be the best performer again or you know, a contender again. This is tricky. I'm going to say, best performer. Actually, you know what? I'm just going to say something crazy. Let's do something crazy. I'm going to say, the best performer in 2024 will be, I still haven't decided.
Nvidia.
Yeah.
Come join me on the dark side.
I think it'll be Alphabet.
Alphabet?
Yeah.
Fair bet.
I don't know why. Nothing in this list is really sticking out to me. There's nothing that's really, I'm looking down the list and if we're limited to just the top 50, it's, I don't know. Maybe if I was looking at the whole thing, then maybe I'd be able to find something. But
statistically, we haven't gone about this the right way, Hamish, because we've picked companies that are right at the tippy top of the list, aka they have the highest market caps.
Well, yeah, that's why it's hard to think about. Yeah,
statistically, if we wanted to try and guess the best performer, we'd probably be guessing somewhere closer to company number 50, just because their market caps realistically could double.
That's exactly what I was doing. I was looking
Nvidia,
I was looking
at Nvidia's going to struggle to double because it's at a $1.2 trillion market cap. Is it going to be worth $2.4 trillion this time next year? I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm looking at these lists and I just can't imagine any of these companies doing extremely well. Like, what's going on? Maybe Intel, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think of a company related to Nvidia.
You know, you don't have to provide a rationale. do you want to provide a rationale why you think Google is going to be the best performer?
No, I don't have any rationale. No. I don't know. They have a cool logo.
Hey, Mishana, now you really sound like a Wall Street professional.
Okay, all right. Let's do the worst performer out of the top 50 S&P 500 companies. This one I think is a little easier because, no, I don't think it's easier to predict. I think it's probably easier to come up with a prediction because, a lot of these companies have done incredibly well over the last 12 months.
You know what? I wonder if this is allowed. I'm playing the percentages here. I'm hedging. I'm going to say the worst performing stock in the S&P 500 in 2024. In the top 50 is NVIDIA.
Is that allowed? I don't know if that's allowed. I don't know.
No hedging. No hedging.
No, I think
I just got to.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's allowed. I think that's cheating.
Yeah. I would have said like S&P 500 plus or minus 5%. Yeah. Australian market plus or minus 5%.
No, we don't do points hedging here. We can't be doing that.
Yeah. All right. Okay. There's the potential. I don't really believe this is going to happen, but I feel like there's the potential for Tesla to have a bad year. Not a bad year in terms of their operations. I think like obviously in their operations, I know the company quite well. They're going from strength to strength. There's no issues with their operations. I think that interest rates are high. Car sales are going to be tough. They do have 2 million pre-orders of the Cybertruck, which is going to be a big, big revenue driver for them in 2024. But I feel like a lot of those pre-orders might fall through. So I feel like there's going to be a bit of a pullback, maybe in the deliver or the demand for their cars potentially, and I feel like not as many Cybertrucks may get delivered as what they want, and people will get a bit annoyed. And also, they're at a P/E ratio of 75, and they're a car maker, so I don't know. Wow. I don't think the autopilot, like Elon said plenty of times, that autopilot is going to be the next key revenue driver for them or driver of margins. I don't think that contributes at all to the mix in 2024. So yeah, it's also relatively high. What is it? $233. What was its high? 400. Okay, so it's about that. Why not? Let's say it.
All right.
I feel like I'm betraying Elon saying that, you know?
Yeah.
Being a Tesla shareholder myself.
Betraying your own portfolio.
Yeah. My portfolio is going to suck in 2024, let me tell you.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, this is tough. Like, everything in me wants to say NVIDIA, but I think that's...
Yeah.
But I also, I don't know. So I'm going to say something else.
Hype?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Nah, I'm not going to do NVIDIA. We'll do one more fun. I think I will do the worst performer in the top 50 S&P. I'm going to say the Walt Disney Company. I've been following the media space a little bit, and obviously you never know what's going to happen over a single year, but it's been a fairly tough environment, particularly for legacy media companies at the moment. And with some potential mergers and acquisitions going on in 2024, I think there's potential for some of these companies to have a really bad year. They've been doing fairly poorly recently. I think they were down like 8% or something last year. I think Disney's troubles will continue. We'll leave it at that.
Fair enough.
So there you go.
It is a company I could see struggling.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on, Hamish.
All right. Economic predictions. Will there be a recession in 2024? A US recession, we'll say.
The big question. You go first on this one.
I'm going to say no. No recession.
Ooh, why?
I don't know. I don't think I have I don't think I have any particular strong reasoning either way. I don't know. There's just the everything just looks particularly strong at the moment. It doesn't look like there's anything that's anywhere near a sign of a recession. Although that's exactly probably what it would look like right before a recession. I don't know. I don't know. I don't really have any. I don't really have any strong reasoning behind this one. I don't.
Do you think rates? Do you think rates come down? Maybe let's do that one. Oh no, I guess
yeah, we could do that. Yeah.
Well, I'll say. I think there will be a recession.
Okay.
I think there will be a recession. Let's do interest rates because that kind of ties into it. So, do you think the interest rates will be higher or lower?
So currently,
we're at what in the US it's 5.25% for the interest rate.
Yeah.
Do you think at the end of the year we'll be looking at something higher or lower than that?
Hopefully, can I get a bit of a range? Because I think my guess So the current prediction is that rates will be about 80 basis points lower by the end of the year. So it's about 3 rate cuts. I don't think there'll be as many rate cuts as is currently expected. I think the interest rate will probably be around where it is now. If I'd have a range, I'd maybe say like 4.5% to 5.5% or something like that.
Right.
I don't think they're going to come down significantly. But then again, you know, it's the same as trying to predict a recession. It's this, you know, who knows? We could have 10 rate hikes next year. We could have 5 rate cuts next year. It's really all just going to depend on month by month inflation, labor data, economic growth. And those things just come in month by month and they're not predictable. So,
I'm thinking the same as you here. I think that rates will probably be pretty much exactly where they are right now. As much as the Fed wants to believe that they'll be able to lower interest rates in this year, I just don't think they're going to be able to. They've got to sell a lot of bonds. And also, you know, Jerome Powell has been pretty adamant that, you know, core inflation does need to come down and it's still reasonable. I mean, it's not super high, but it's still like reasonably elevated versus what they want. So I think that, you know, I've listened to a lot of Ray Dalio and Howard Marks, as I said before, talking about this topic. And I think that the US is going to struggle to lower interest rates. It's not really as simple as being like, okay, inflation down, let's lower, that's fine. It's more complicated than that, and I think they're going to struggle to lower interest rates this year.
Yeah, and I think they're
going to say interest rates are going to not move.
Yeah, and I think the Fed's also just likely to try and avoid what happened in the 70s, where the inflation was, you know, about where it is now, and they started lowering interest rates, and then, you know, a year later, inflation surged even worse. So I'm sure they're acutely aware of not making, you know, another mistake with their rate decisions. So unless it's entirely necessary to cut rates, so if there is a recession, they will cut rates. But unless it's entirely necessary, I think it would be surprising to see large amounts of rate cuts. Maybe some, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it was approximately the same.
Is inflation going down? That's our next category. What do you think?
I think
it's currently 3.1%.
Yeah, I think
that's headline.
I would probably predict that inflation is about the same. That it doesn't, you know, drop meaningfully back to, you know, the 1% range that it was before all of this happened. But yeah, that it would maybe stay in the 3 to 4% range.
3 to 4%.
Yeah.
For headline.
Yeah.
I am going to say it will be headline will be in the 2 to 3 range. 2 to 3%. Because I think that Jerome Powell will follow through. Because he's said it so much, I think he will follow through to get it down below the 3% mark. Even if that means he doesn't get to do his magical rate cuts.
The tricky thing with headline is it's going to depend massively on oil, which can swing significantly. So it's probably better core. We could predict core.
Yeah, let's do core then. What's core? Core's like 4, isn't it?
Core is currently 4. 4.0, 4%. So, and I would probably say the same thing. I would say core is going to be between like 3.5% and 4.5%. So right around where it is today. Yeah.
Yep. damn it. I want to be different to you, but I do think this. I do think the same.
Yeah.
I'll go between. I'll say core between. Oh, yeah. I want to say 3 and 4. So I'll be slightly different, but I do actually think the same as you here. Core is between 3% and 4%. Okay, cool.
All right. Let's move on. Let's let's get out of the stock market and economy. Let's talk about some other things that are happening this year. The US election, 2024 national election will be happening. A couple of questions here. Will Biden run for re-election? He has said that he will run. He's said. He was asked recently and he said yes. But there's a lot of question marks because he is getting very old and he has fallen down a lot of stairs. So what do you think? What do you want me to go first?
I think he will. I think he will. I do think it's a problem though.
Yeah.
I think they'll have to really think about whether it's the right thing to do, because I just think his reputation, because I mean, it's sad to see, you know, I think he's a nice guy. Joe Biden's great, you know, but he is suffering. He is an old man and he is suffering. Yeah. Quite clearly from quite a bit of dementia and just general age-related deterioration. I mean, he just is. And while, you know, the president is the captain of a very large ship who has a very small rudder, and realistically it probably doesn't matter too much who the actual figurehead is, who the president is. It's more about the party and the people that kind of, you know, the collection of people that run things. Yeah, it'll just be a very hard decision for him not to run again, especially when they know from the last election that he has beaten Trump and could do it again if Trump was the Republican candidate.
I think I don't know. I think if he runs again, there's almost no chance he beats Trump. Like if you assuming any of the polling that's been done recently is accurate in any way, it would be an absolute landslide.
Okay.
So I
can't say I keep up to date.
I actually don't think he's going to run. I don't know how that would even, I don't know how that would even happen. Because it would be really strange. Like it's your party saying you have no confidence in the person you put forward 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So I think that's all, that would also just be a weird like mistake in a way for them to do that.
Or he does like a political, I've decided to step down.
Yeah, he's stepping away from politics kind of thing.
I'm so, you know, excited by the next generation of leadership coming up through the party that, that kind of political BS.
I think there's a good chance he doesn't run and that the Democrats put up a different candidate. I think there's a good chance of that. But again, who knows? So I'll say no.
Yeah.
Another question. Will Trump be the Republican nominee?
I don't know enough.
Actually, I just realized this question depends on like a lot of the court cases going on at the moment.
It does.
So he actually might not even be allowed to run. I think that's still up in the air. So it's not even just about, I think if he's allowed to run, there's a very, very high chance that he wins. He wins the nomination for Republican.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say yes, because I think it would be kind of I guess it's possible that he's not allowed to run, but I would be surprised and I think I would just be surprised if that ended up happening. So I'll say he will. I'll say he will be the candidate.
I'll go the opposite. I'll say he won't be.
Okay.
I don't know enough about American politics to really have a strong
I don't either. I don't either. Yeah.
But I don't know. I think that there's been a lot more hatred or frustration towards Trump with all that's happened over like the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So I think especially if he's going up against you know, not Joe Biden, but against a decent Democratic candidate that seems switched on. I think that it would be a uphill battle for him.
Yeah. I probably agree with that, actually. I think, probably if Biden doesn't run and yeah. someone, just some normal, you know, run-of-the-mill Democrat runs against Trump, then there's a good chance that Trump doesn't win, which I guess is the next question as well. Who's wins the 2024 election? Which there's only, I don't really actually know that many names in the ring, except for, I guess you could say Biden and Trump are probably the two at the top.
We can just
there's
say like
DeSantis,
Democrats, Republicans.
Oh, okay. Okay. So just, we just do it that way. Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be red or blue. What do you reckon, Hamish?
I think it's going to be red. Because I think it seems like there's a lot of, well, I think just based on the cost of living crisis, people tend to attribute whatever's happening negatively in the economy or to them personally to the current government. And there's been a lot of that, or it seems like there's been a lot of that in the US. So having it flip, in an environment like that seems to make sense. Even though the government doesn't really have all that much control over the cost of living crisis in some ways.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think that just generally people attribute economic management, all of that stuff, to the government.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it's fair enough. So, yeah. I think that Americans have probably grown pretty frustrated over the last couple of years. So I do agree. I think that generally, if we're not thinking about who, if we're not doing the matchups of who versus who, just generally, I think that I wouldn't be surprised if it goes red.
Okay. Rapid fire. Let's do some cryptocurrency. Bitcoin, all right. Up or down?
I'm going to say up. I don't want to believe it, but I'm going to say up.
Yep. Will say, I'll go against you. I'll say down.
Okay.
I like going against you because then one of us gets a landslide victory at the end of the year. I'll say down. Any major crypto exchanges going bust? I'll go ahead and say no. I'll go ahead and say no. I reckon we'll get a year off. We'll get a year off this year. 2025 is the year of crypto fraud and bankruptcies.
It'll make a resurgence next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also gonna say no. I'm also gonna say no to that one.
Okay.
All right. Last one.
Yep.
How many years does Sam Bankman-Fried get?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what I said because we did already make predictions about this when we were talking about it.
Oh, do we?
I'm trying to remember what I said. I think I said that I would expect him to get out in his 50s. So I'm going to say about 20 years he'll get.
Okay. Well, for this one, we'll do whoever's closer.
Okay. I'll say 20. How many years? Wait, no. So I'll say 20. I'll say 28 years. 28.
28.
Four years per charge.
Okay. He is getting out, Hamish, in 18 years.
Okay. He gets 110.
That's all it's going to take.
Yeah, if he gets the maximum sentence, then I'll be closest. You're banking on a very, very nice judge.
Yeah, true.
You should have just said 20.
There's just a way for these rich people to get out. I don't know. There's just something about it, Hamish.
Yeah. Yep. Tends to happen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is our 2024 stock market predictions. I'd love to hear your predictions down in the comment section of the YouTube version of the podcast. Or if you're on Spotify, you can also let us know just by swiping up. It'll say if you want to ask us a question. But if you have any comments, you can also leave them there. But yeah, thank you for tuning in to our first episode of 2024. And thank you, Brandon, for joining me as always.
All good.
And we'll see you guys in the next episode. See you later, guys.
See you later.